I wonder if you could just grab your handout and you'll see the blue box there with the white writing. That's an excerpt out of the letter of 1 Peter, and we're just going to look at that for a few moments together. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. I'd like to just ponder with you for a few moments on verse 18 in that reading. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. The verse appears in a section on suffering, and the implication being that those who follow Jesus Christ, those Christians, are people that may indeed suffer. Suffer for doing good, suffer for doing what is right. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. At least six times in the New Testament, Jesus is described as the righteous one. And Peter, who wrote these verses in Acts chapter 3, describes Jesus like that, the righteous one. In God's eyes, Jesus did no wrong. No wrong speech was in his mouth. Always did what his Father wanted. He is the righteous one. Have you ever thought like this? You're in the car and perhaps you're driving along Bowral Road out the front there and it's slow going. And then you come to that section of the road where it becomes a dual carriageway and away you go. And it feels like you're almost in a race driving up into Bowral to get to Gumnut Patisserie before everybody else does. Okay, so we're driving up and you hit 70 and then it goes into 75 and 80 and, dare I say it, 85 kilometres, and as you go around the corner, there you see that car on the left with the flashing lights, and you sink, and before you know it, you suddenly realise he's pulled over someone else. It's not you. It's not your turn today. And you're thinking, at least he's got him. And if it's me, I'm thinking to myself, it's really good to see that they're nabbing these hoons. But you see, It could have been me. That's what I think. You see, and it's one thing, isn't it, to break the speed limit and get away with it. I mean, who hasn't done that, either accidentally or on purpose? But it's another thing to break the speed limit of God's law by driving our own lives our own way and on our own terms and thinking that that's okay. When verse 18 says, Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous. It's not okay, is it? It's not okay if we never admit there was only one who was righteous, who died for sins. I mean, he never can come to God otherwise. And it's never, if we never see ourselves as being unrighteous, and the breakers of God's law who offend his holy will, if we never admit that, we will never see that we need that once for all death of the righteous one. If we won't accept the terms that Christ died for sins to bring us to God, then, but those are the terms that God supplies, the only substitute for our sin. Two cooks are in a kitchen, and next to them are two cooks in another kitchen. And both teams are cooking a three-course meal in a cooking competition. Their three-course meal is going to be critiqued by world-class chefs. Was there enough sauce? Was the texture of the puree adequate? Was the lamb overdone or underdone? And then the cooks stand before the judges to get the verdict, and one team gets tens, tens, tens. Perfect entree, perfect main, perfect dessert. And then the other team hears from the judges scores. 5, 6, 3. The meal didn't measure up. And so they're going home. They've been eliminated from the competition, getting their just desserts. You can thank me later for that. But just after that verdict, the team with all those tens from the judges speaks up and says, we will go home instead of them. Let them stay. We'll take their place. Let us be eliminated instead of them. What has happened? There's been an exchange. Those the judges eliminated are now able to stay, because those who should stay take their place instead. Now think about our lives for a moment. Do you think there is any one of us who is able to serve up our lives before God and receive a perfect score from him? According to the Bible, there was only one who was righteous. There was only one that can bring you to God. Only one who gave his righteous life for your unrighteous one. And Christians are people who know the verdict on their lives has already taken place. Christ's perfect life given to them, and their imperfect life given to him. An exchange, for Christ died for sins once for all. According to the Bible, the choice is very simple. The terms are these: either we trust and accept the terms that God provides, the righteous one for the unrighteous, and are then prepared to suffer for Christ as we follow and identify ourselves with him. Or we're left to do the best we can on our own, to serve up our lives. And what will the score be? Will it be good enough to bring you to God without the Saviour that he provided for us on that first Good Friday? For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Let us pray. Righteous Lord, Heavenly Father, grant that we might all admit our need for our unrighteousness, our failed lives that will always fall short of what you require. And as we reflect on the Good Friday, the righteous one given, may our whole trust be in him, knowing that he brings his perfect life to us, that we might be his and made right before you today. May our whole trust be in him. In Jesus' name, amen.